don't miss your chance to see Sarah Evans at the Emporia Granada Theater. Veterans Day, Thursday, November 11th.
KVOE Live and local, plenty of sunshine, 37 degrees, time for What's In Outdoors. Every Friday morning this time, hosted by Phil Totten. Make sure you hop online, KVOE.com, and click on the What's In Outdoors page. All kinds of great info always there from Phil. What's In Outdoors, brought to you by Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50, and also our good friends at Express Tire and Auto on East 12th, near the water tower. It is time for What's In Outdoors, and from Studio North, yeah, Council Grove Lake. Phil, good morning. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Ron. Yourself?
Doing good today, my friend. Doing good.
I'll tell you, we have a beautiful morning here. The wind hadn't picked up yet, and I was talking to Ginger just a while ago, and she wondered what I was going to do. I said, well, baby, I'm going to do man things today.
Man things? What kind of man things, Phil?
Well, she was sort of alluding to doing something with a shower that's leaking, but I'm looking out out and seeing a garden that's got to be cleaned up, maybe rake around the yard a little bit, and that lake is inviting. And I do have a fishing report coming up later on in the show.
So that lake is calling your name?
That's man thing.
Yeah,
right there,
Phil, okay.
Anymore, the outdoors is everybody can participate out there. And I've asked Rod McDonald, I wanted to get him on last week when the waterfowl season opened for most of the state. But Ron lives over there in the Madison area, and they have a season opening tomorrow. And that's the southeast region. And Ron is an accomplished waterfowl hunter, a writer. I just love talking with him. And also, he loves to cook wild game. So, Ron, welcome to the show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing this morning?
Well, I'm getting woke up. I tell you, I think I'm going to be glad when this time change happens Sunday. I guess it's going to be Sunday. I've been waking up at 4, and it's not really working for having a couple, 3 hours of darkness before I get around. So with the time change coming on, we need to set our watches and be ready for that. And whether that has some kind of physical effects on people, I don't know. They say it do. But do you have any plans on going waterfowl hunting this weekend, Ron? Rob?
Yeah. You know, like you said, the state of Kansas has broke into several waterfowl zones, and where I'm at down here is the southeast late zone, and actually bumped that season up a week this year. So normally it doesn't open, it had not opened for another week. We do have a few birds around. Probably the best bet for folks this weekend that are looking to capitalize on that southeast late zone opener would be the larger reservoirs. And you know, where Kansas is 99% private property, most of our public hunting lands are around public reservoirs, whether that's a core lake or a state park or state lake. A lot of those areas have public hunting and fishing properties around them and wetland areas, and especially in early season, that's where a lot of those early waterfowl are going to congregate, and there's pretty good access. So hopefully we'll get out. You know, the weather forecast looks pretty nice. I think you said some yard work and fishing, 60, 70 degrees. It's not really conducive to waterfowl hunting, but we'll see what we can do.
Well, Kansas, you know, that weather can change any minute. Last week, all through the week, was really blustery and cloudy, and of course, they promised some rain, but we never really got very much here. But I don't know why. I just think of waterfowl hunting being better when it's cold and fronts are coming in. But here at Council Grove, we are seeing a few ducks, and some couple of eagles showed up yesterday. Also, I talked with Jim Fidman earlier in this year, and they heard earlier in the week, and he said the waterfowl hunting for the youth season over in Melbourne was spectacular. Said the boys fired a few errant shots, but were able to scratch down a limit before it was all over.
Very nice.
How long have you been hunting waterfowl, Rob?
You know, I grew up in northwest Kansas and stomped around Kerwin Lake and Webster Lake. And, you know, I hate to admit it, but I'm going on close to 30 years of hunting ducks and geese. And, you know, my experience, I think, in Kansas has been that the waterfowl hunting is about as good as it's ever been. We're seeing good groups of birds. You know, that always changes from season to season, depending on hatches and what the water levels in the pothole region up north of us, you know, clear up into Canada. And also, like you mentioned, with the fronts and the weather through the season, you know, it takes cold weather and frozen water up north to push those birds south. And, you know, sometimes everything lines up and you get a good brood of birds through the summer and Mother Nature cooperates. And cold weather kind of locks up the Dakotas and Nebraska and pushes those birds down. And we can have some pretty spectacular waterfowl hunting in this area.
Well, if I was just starting to hunt ducks and geese, what suggestions would you give me in the way of equipment? Maybe a shotgun? Or is one better than the other? And I know it's the law. You need to have a plug in your gun. You know, I like to shoot with an over and under, but sometimes, like Myrna would say,
right,
that just doesn't give me enough shots. But with the plug, so
there you go.
Hey, if I was a young hunter, And by that, starting to buy equipment, say that I'm maybe 22, 23 years old, and I really want to get into the game for a lifelong habit, what suggestions would you give me on getting started?
Sure. You know, like I mentioned earlier, public access, reservoirs, those are good places to start. Do a little scouting, you know, put in a little bit of boot leather and try and figure out where to go. If you're going to be, you know, hunting in the water, waders are pretty key investment. You know, you can get it done. Some guys will retrieve ducks with a fishing rod and a big plug, you know, big lure, you know. But a pair of waders, that's pretty handy equipment to have. You mentioned a shotgun. You know, 20 gauge is fine. 12 gauge, a lot of guys hunt ducks and geese with a 12 gauge. You do have to use non-toxic shot. That's a federal regulation. So, for a lot of years, everybody was shooting steel. Now we see a lot of things like bismuth and tungsten and some other alloys that are non-toxic. But, yeah, make sure you're following the regulation. You've got non-toxic shot in. And also, as you mentioned, a plug in your gun so that if you're using an automatic or a pump gun, that it can only hold three shells. So that's one in the chamber and two in the magazine. Or an over and under or a side-by-side is going to only hold two shells. But, you know, if you pick up a mallard hen call and learn to blow that a little bit, you know, with YouTube and so much available on the internet as far as how to blow that call, I've never seen the learning curve as fast as it is now. You know, a dozen decoys is plenty for somebody starting out. Even if you had six, you know, the shotgun you have and the decoys you have are better than nothing at all. And, you know, my experience at least is when you're waterfowl hunting, your hide, the way you're camouflaged and hidden from those birds is probably the most critical thing. You know, there's been plenty of times when maybe I got to walk in quite a little ways to get to where the birds want to be, and that's the key, is to do that scouting and figure out exactly where they want to be. Don't set up 100 yards away. Set up where they want to be. And you could throw out two or three or four decoys, and as long as you're hitting well, those birds are pretty wary. So that's a key factor there is being hidden.
Of course, during the regular waterfowl season, you can't use a light electronic call. Later on in the year, when we go into the conservation order, that will allow you to hunt snow geese, you can use electronic calls. I remember when I first thought I wanted to be a duck hunter, I brought a call home, and goodness gracious, a woman like that almost told me I had to leave. You know,
maybe
I was trying too hard. You did mention a female mallard call. That's pretty good to bring in the birds. But just getting started calling, is that something you want to go to YouTube, or is there places that you can go that people teach you how to call? And one thing I do want to say is if you are on a public area, you need to be aware that other people are out there, and sometimes too much calling can really cause the ducks to leave.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, you know, if you pick up the coals have come a long way as well as the shot for shotgun shells. But, you know, there's duck coals made from all types of acrylic and different polymers, and even the old, you know, wooden coals, the reeds have come a long ways. They're easier to blow than they used to be. And as you mentioned, yeah, if you can get on YouTube and just search up how to blow a duck call, you'll probably find more videos than you've got time to watch. And, you know, there's actually some other communicators in Kansas, outdoor communicators, that have YouTube channels around waterfowl hunting. Freelance Duck Hunting is one of those channels. Some guys up in the north east part of the state, and Outdoor Limits is another channel. Some guys that are hunting in Kansas, and those guys, a lot of those channels will have some videos about you know, how to set up your decoy spread and what shot to use, you know, for what size of shot for what duck, and then yeah, how to blow your duck call. So like I said, the learning curve, you know, used to be you would have to find a mentor and spend seasons and seasons figuring out all those little tips and tricks, and that's still there. You still have to put in the time, but with social media and YouTube and access to the internet, that learning curve, it's as short as I've ever seen it, for sure.
Rob, you mentioned to help you retrieve a fishing pole and a lure. Have you ever done that with dove hunting? And while you was trying to retrieve a dove, have a bass take that lure?
You know, no, I never have had a fish try and take my lure, but I could see where that could happen. You know, you throw a great big topwater plug with lots of treble hooks on it after a floating bird, and I hunt with a dog, and that's a big part of actually why I like to go is getting my dog out, and then I've got two young boys, and I like to get them out, but I could sure see that where maybe you could double up and get a dove or maybe a teal and a bass all in the same time.
What kind of dog do you have, and did you train it?
Yeah, I hunt with a Labrador. She's actually my second Labrador. You know, in the dog community, that you know, generationally, they can kind of, how many good dogs has a guy had, and you can almost put decades on those dogs, right? You know, you get a good 6 to 8 years out of a good dog, hopefully, and in the field. And so she's my second Labrador, and I think we're in her fourth season, I believe. And she really, I trained her with some help. A friend of mine from up there in your neck of the woods, Terry Adams, has had that pheasant run kennels up there at Council Grove. And if we're going to go on a family vacation or something, then Meg, that's the dog I've got now. And she'll go up there and stay a few days with Terry and do some retrieves. And she hunts upland too. I'll take her out here in a couple weeks out around Lucas and in that area and do some upland bird hunting with her. She I call her the warrior princess. She really likes to get out there and hunt them up, that's for sure.
And they're such a great asset to help you recover that resource that you knocked down. And say, it's just once you hunt with a dog, it's hard not to go without one. But even that fishing pole and lure would be a lot cheaper, but not near as much comfort as a good dog.
That's
Robert,
for sure.
Can you stay with us while we go through our first break? I'd like to talk about your outdoor family, your little wild man, also your blog, and can you share some of your Field of Fork secrets? So we'll get right back to you after our first commercial.
You're tuned in to What's in Outdoors, Phil Totten, KVOE. Stay tuned. Back with more after this.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
That city slicker was dead serious when he asked me, "Hey, how long does it take to grow birds after you plant bird seed?" Whether you want to try to grow birds or attract them, head to Blue Stem. Blue Stem Farm and Ranch has bird seed, or a bird feed, and bird feeders, bird houses and bird baths too. Even binoculars for a closer look. If it's for the birds, Blue Stem's got it, with a variety of well-known brands of each at great prices. We'll see you bird lovers at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch, Highway 50 in Emporia.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
KVOE, live and local, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. It is 8:38. You are tuned in to What's In Outdoors. Phil Totten from Studio North in Council Grove with guests this morning. Phil, back to you.
Rob, you know, I know you write a blog, Modern Wild Man. And listeners, we are talking to Rob McDonald from the Madison area. Great outdoorsman, great ambassador to the outdoors. Just how many times do you publish something in your blog, Rod?
Yeah. So if anybody just Googled Modern Wild Man, three different words there, they'll find me. And, you know, my personal blog is slowed down a little bit. I need to do some updating there. But you'll find on there, some pieces about hunting upland, waterfowl, deer hunting, big game, camping, canoeing, all that type of stuff, and quite a few outdoor recipes. I also do write for publications like the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks magazine, just finished some work for Game and Fish Outdoors magazine. Do quite a little bit of writing for Outdoor Life and their online publication. So, apart from that, that's kind of my side gig, and then I've got a full-time job down here in Madison. So, I do quite a little bit of writing, that's for sure.
Well, Rob, before I met you, I think it was your wild game articles that caught my eye. And, of course, a lot of people, when you talk about waterfowl, some people say, I don't hunt waterfowl, I just don't like to eat them. And you give us some secrets, and we call it from field to fork, on how to harvest waterfowl and get them prepared for the table the minute your dog brings them to you.
You bet. So, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of folks that maybe don't appreciate the taste of waterfowl, and probably because they haven't had it prepared in a way that that really accents that waterfowl. So, and there is a field to fork or a local vore movement where folks are trying to source more local proteins, and waterfowl is a great resource. So, you know, in my experience, a lot of folks try to cook a duck like a chicken, and it's not a chicken. If anything, waterfowl is closer to beef, and it's a red meat. So a few secrets. If you save the whole bird and you roast that bird, that can be very delicious if you do it right. If you get a late season mallard, it's got a lot of fat on it. That duck fat it's delicious. So a plucked bird, it's a little bit of work to pluck one, but it's worth it. Or if you're going to breast a bird, I would always recommend that if you can save the skin on that duck breast, it goes a long way, especially if you're grilling or searing that duck meat in a skillet or on a charcoal or gas grill. And treat it like a steak. If you like your steak medium rare, then, cook your duck breast that way. One of the biggest secrets, I would say, is to brine those waterfowl meat. So simple brine could easily be like a quarter cup of salt and a tablespoon of brown or white sugar and some hot water. Dissolve that, in like a gallon of water. Let it cool. And then add your duck meat or your goose meat to that brine overnight. And what that brine is going to do is penetrate through that meat, and that salt and that sugar is going to go through that meat and back out and draw some of that blood in there. If you think about how much oxygen and protein has to go into that duck's breast for it to flap those wings, there's a lot of that tissue gets used a lot, and there's a lot of blood in there. And so to brine that meat, just even overnight, take it out of that brine, rinse it off, and then do your preparation, whether that's in a stew or a soup or grilled, however you like it. that brining will go a long way. And you know, another thing that I've found through most wild game, whether that's fixing squirrels or venison or upland or whatever it is, you know, if you can prepare a dish for somebody that's maybe skeptical and through that protein add two or three other ingredients that are pretty mainstream. One example would be my kids, both my boys, like to eat squirrel egg rolls. And so we'll get a bunch of squirrels and we'll cook those and slow cook them and then pick that meat. And by adding that protein to something like an egg roll that most people are familiar with, they like, they, you know, you've got carrots and cabbage and egg roll wrap or other ingredients. It's not just a single piece of that wild game protein that can kind of turn people off. So add other ingredients that people are used to in a dish. And it makes it a lot more palatable, especially for folks who are maybe starting their wild game journey.
Do you marinate your squirrel, Rob?
Yeah. So a lot of times we'll cook squirrels, like sit in a crock pot. You know, squirrels are funny because the bigger they get, they can get really tough. And older squirrels, pretty tough. So you need to slow cook those, low and slow, get that meat to where it's kind of falling off the bone. So we'll cook it in a crock pot, maybe with beef broth, onions, garlic, that kind of thing. If you get a nice young squirrel, you can definitely fry it, you know, like a, I would say, chicken fry. But, you know, batter it up and bread it in a hot iron skillet with some good oil. That's pretty tough to beat with a young squirrel, but you know, an older squirrel, they get pretty tough.
The reason I asked, not 3 feet from studio north window, there is a squirrel on my bird feeder, and it can be a nuisance. So I hope he doesn't know what I'm thinking. Of course, there's some areas you can't shoot here down here at the lake. I can't do that. But, no, they can really cause a nuisance, I tell you what. Rob, I know you come from quite an outdoor family, and I love hearing your stories about Little Wild Man. And I was looking at your blog yesterday. I see your wife is quite an accomplished a singer. So what's it like living and you know, having the whole family involved with the outdoors like what you do?
Yeah, you know, we actually live on my in-laws' cow-calf ranch down here, and we help them out ride horses a lot. My boys are active in a couple local saddle clubs. And so we're outdoors. We love to fish and hunt, and we do a little fur trapping if the market's decent. And so, you know, there's always something in season. You know, we're always looking forward to what's in season now and what's in season next. You know, we've got turkey season will kick off in the spring, and the crappie spawns right there, and then the bass spawns right behind it, and, you know, setting lines on the rivers right in there, and then you move into squirrel season in Kansas, opens in June. You know, you move through... We'll fish and ride horses all summer long, and then once you get into the autumn months, like right now, while there's starting in September, you know, dove season kicks off, and the great chicken season opens early, and now we've got we're right on the horizon of upland, and most of the state's duck season is open right now, except our season down in this region opens this weekend, and it just always something to look forward to. And yeah, as you mentioned, I've got two boys, and I like to call them Little Wild Man and Littlest Wild Man. And those two boys, they just eat it up.
All right, sir. I want to appreciate you being on the show. Appreciate all you do to promote the outdoors, and I will stay in touch. You have a good weekend.
All right, thanks, Bill.
Ron, let's go to that last break, and we'll finish up this version of What's in Outdoors.
All right, thank you, Phil. You're tuned in to What's in Outdoors, KVOE Live and Local 846. Good morning.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supplies got it.
That city slicker was dead serious when he asked me, "Hey, how long does it take to grow birds after you plant bird seed?" Well, whether you want to try to grow birds or attract them, head to Bluestem. Bluestem Farm and Ranch has bird seed, or a bird feed, and bird feeders, bird houses and bird baths too, even binoculars for a closer look. If it's for the birds, Bluestem's got it, with a variety of well-known brands of each at great prices. We'll see you bird lovers at Bluestem Farm and Ranch, Highway 50 in Emporia.
KVOE Live and Local, it is 847. You are tuned in to What's in Outdoors. KVOE Live and Local, Phil Totten, Studio North, Council Grove Lake. Well, what about a fishing update, Phil?
Well, I said last week it was really on the bad side, but I just wasn't going. When the weather's bad, I just don't really like to get out that much. I don't know. Anytime I see it's gray outside, I'm cold. It must be an after 70 deal. I don't know. But I had to bite the bullet because for long we're going to be getting into that hard water, and my cupboard is a little bare. We had fish fries all through Vamosapis Gard, and of course my family loved to eat fish, and then we had a fish fry there at Cabela's when we did that program. So I am stocking up for the winter, but I'm letting the big fish go. I let one go, weighed about 13 pounds. I have been fishing for crappie quite a bit, and I like to use those crappie heads and intros for bait this time of year. I put them on a number 7 to number 10 Circle C hook, and I tell you, it's a good combination with that. But get out there quite a bit. I have been catching catfish, and I got a spam caller coming in. Ron, can you still hear me all right?
I hear you fine, yep.
All right. I don't know if them thing lights up and pushing buttons and things like that. I cut you off. But the fishing is good and real good. I talk to Joe about it every day, and over there at Milford, they're really catching the crappie. But with catfish, especially the channel cat here at Council Grove, we're doing real good on those. And I did do something last week that I hope I don't do anymore. I had a hook caught in my hand.
Oh, no.
I've been handling fish for like forever, but sometimes they can flop and move and things happen. So I don't know why I got a couple pair of fish pliers around here, or, you know, grippers to hold the fish. So I just need to get hold of them and help me handle those fish. But Ron, this weekend is the youth season for pheasants and quail that opens up, and it's something new this year is that youth age has increased. That means that hunters now 17 and under can go out on the hunt season. Used to be 16 and under, and the reason that they've raised it to 17 is just try to standardize ages across the nation with what they got. I guess 17, it just sounds better than 16, or just make it more, you know, along the line with that. But even though if you're 17 and you have a license, you need to be accompanied by a non-hunting adult age 18 or older. Of course, hunter's ed, people that have never taken hunter's ed, you need to have that in order to buy a license, but Wildlife and Parks has a way that you can hunt for 2 years without taking hunter's ed, so you need to go to an office or give them a call and check on that. It does promise to be a little bit better upland game bird season than last year. To get a full report, just go to ksoutdoors.com, hunting, upland game bird / upland game forecast, and you'll see the places to go. And it looks like really up into the northwest and central in the Smoky Hill region is the best for upland game birds. So, Ron, going to have a busy weekend.
Yeah, you bet.
What do you got going on?
We'll be at Freedom Fest tomorrow morning, and that starts bright and early at 8. And then I've got some Emporia State football to do tomorrow afternoon.
I do want to thank all our servicemen, all our first responders, yeah, and everything for what they do. And we got to keep the spirit and keep this nation going, Ron.
You got that right, Phil. Good job as always. Talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Take care. God bless.
Phil Totten, What's in Outdoors, every Friday morning here, KVOE Live and Local. Great job as always done by Phil. What's in Outdoors brought to you by Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50, and also Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower. John and Jenny, that great crew out there, John and Jenny, do a great job for you always, Express Tire and Auto. What's In Outdoors online at KVOE.com. Hop on, click on the page. All kinds of great info always. It's 8:52.
The latest government jobs numbers. More than 500,000 jobs added last month, beating expectations. TD Ameritrade.